for me. Through it all, when everyone around said I would fall, you were my friend. Thank you. fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's worth that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you singing it, and he said, well, let me hear it. And so I played it for him, and he said, Cliff, that's a repentance song. And I said, well, something about the song stood out to me. He said, Cliff, he said, that man's repenting for making this something other than just worship.
Right, that's right.
And I think, sometimes we get our eyes off what it's really all about.
Amen.
But I tell you, he's a God of mercy.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking, like I said, everything that happens to a preacher, turns into a sermon, and I ain't been trying to sing no more. So. But yesterday evening, when I pulled in, I had to have a GPS, and I come around, this way, and it said, turn right on 20th Street. But I was wanting to go to a gas station. So I went on past, and it said, turn right on 18th Street. Then it said, turn right on 11th Street. Turn right on 8th Street. And it just kept on telling me the same way. And I thought, that's the way God is. He just, we run sometimes and we go the other direction, but he just says, hey, make another, here's another spot you can make a right turn.
Yeah, right.
We keep on going. He goes, well, here's another opportunity to make a right turn. And I kept on going. And finally, I got up to some point up there in town and it said, make a U-turn. And I thought, I remember the time in my life when he kept on giving me opportunity, and I kept going. He said, well, here's a chance. And finally, the Lord came to me and he said, it's time for you to make a U-turn.
Right.
I don't know when that time was for you, but I'm thankful he's a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances and 300 chances.
Hallelujah.
And he's a God that's able to let you make a U-turn. So.
Yes, sir. That's right.
If we could this morning, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 43. And I just want to say once again, it's good to be with you. And I appreciate the invitation. I tell you, I believe this. I believe no matter where we're at, there's God's people in that building. And, it's a privilege to stand before God's purchased.
Amen.
Our pastor preached the other day. He said, look, he said, you're the purchased possession. He said, so when I look at you, I see the value of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
So you're valuable this morning.
Amen.
Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You can be seated this morning.
Amen.
I want to continue reading. But before I do, I want to share something with you. Just after reading that verse right there, last night I was laying there in the hotel, and I was just, thinking and praying on what direction to go this morning. Y'all know Brother Tommy Morse. He sends me a message through Facebook. Now, this is the scripture that I'm praying between this and one other thought. And this is the scripture he sends me. Is Isaiah 45. Let's see if I can pull it up here. Isaiah 45:2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give the treasures of the darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou may knowest that I am the Lord, which call thee by thy name. So here I am looking at this scripture where he says, I've called thee by thy name, and I'm going, what should I do? And God has somebody that don't have no clue what I'm looking at from 4 or 5 hours away to say, I bet Cliff would like to see that scripture, and he just sent me that. And I thought, you know what, that's a great God, you know.
Amen.
But we look into this scripture, I want to take, and I'm going to read a little bit further here, but I want to make a title this morning, if I could, on the fearless, the redeemed. The fearless, the redeemed. This scripture, something that stood out to me as he says, it starts off very good. He says, but now, thus saith the Lord. You know, there's a lot of thus saith me's out there.
That's right. That's
but you know, I'll quote it in the words of my pastor. My pastor said, you know what? He said, I'll take Brother Branham's opinion over your revelation. You know, there's a lot of people out here with ideas or with opinions or what. I think it should be this way. But, you know, there had to come, just like I told you, I've been dealing with a Baptist church, and they said, well, you know, why do you think there's a prophet to come in the land? And I said, well, listen, Malachi 3 says there's a messenger coming before the first coming of the Lord. And they said, well, yeah. I said, well, Malachi 4 said before the great and dreadful day. What day is that? And they said, well, the tribulation. I said, okay. The tribulation and the rapture. I said, well, it said before that day he was sending Elijah back again. And, you know, there's got to be someone to straighten all this stuff out and to clear it all up for us. And but as I look at this scripture, he says, thus saith the Lord. Now that perks my ears up. He says, I have redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This ain't guesswork. This is, thus saith the Lord. For I am the Lord, not just the Lord God. But I like this. It said, I'm the Lord thy God.
Amen.
He's not just a healer, Brother Daniel. He's your healer.
Amen.
He's not just a Savior, He's my Savior.
Yeah.
He's not just a Redeemer, He's my Redeemer, Brother Tim.
Right.
He said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopian Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. As I looked at this scripture, my heart just jumped for joy. And I want to tie another scripture to it. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now this scripture starts off, fear not. Four, and he goes through the list of reasons why you shouldn't fear.
Amen.
Number one, because you're the redeemed.
Amen.
That's the number one reason why you shouldn't fear. Amen. The next reason you shouldn't fear is because I'm the Lord thy God. When you walk through the river, when you go through the rivers, they'll not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, he tells you, no matter what the situation is in your life that you're going to go through, because you're redeemed, I'm going to be with you.
Amen.
And for that very reason, don't fear.
Amen.
You know, right now we are living in a time of fear striking the land.
Yep. Right.
People are scared to death. Ammunition sales last year was, I believe, the greatest sale that year of sales there ever had been. The over the last three and a half years of presidency, I started to say tribulation, but the last 3.5 years of presidency has been more assault rifles sold than there ever has been in the history of a year any time in the United States.
That's right.
Why? Because people are scared to death. What's going to happen? What, you know, are we going to be attacked by ISIS? Is Russia going to attack us? And, you know, let me be honest with you. When I started seeing some of these things in the news about Russia, can I be real honest with you? It shook me up. I don't like hearing that Russia was flying close to Alaska. I didn't like it at all, Brother Tony.
Right.
So you know what I done? I went back to the Word.
Amen.
And I said, I remember when I was a kid, man, they used to pull them quotes up about Russia. But you know what? They failed to read all of the quotes.
Right.
So I started reading, and Brother Branham said, I prophesy to you that Russia will come into the United States by the train loads, by the bus loads, the boat loads. He said, they'll pour out into the streets. And he said, they'll bring the women out of the houses, ravish them in the streets. He said, and he just goes through this ugly picture. He says, but I was thankful for that conjunction.
Amen.
He said, the bride will be gone. That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I thought, boy, I like that. So I went to the next quote, and he goes through the same list. He says, they'll come in by the train loads. They'll come in by the boat loads. They'll take over without firing a shot. Bombs will be dropped. But the bride will be gone. That's thus saith the Lord. Brother Daniel, every quote I read, Brother Branham was saying, yes, this is going to happen, but you ain't going to see it. Let me tell you something. When I see the word bride, I put my name on that scripture.
Amen.
I told our church the other day, I said, listen, we got to get to the point when the Bible says thee, you put your name there. When it says thou, put your name in that book. I'm going to tell you what I've done. I took in Malachi 4 where it says, I send unto you, Elijah. I literally have scribbled out the word you in my Bible. And Brother Tony underneath it, I wrote Cliff Farmer. Because when I read Malachi 4, I don't know who all he sent the prophet to, but I know that he sent unto Cliff Farmer Elijah the prophet. And I know that he said, fear not, for I have redeemed Cliff Farmer. Can you put your name in that book this morning? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. Brother Branham tells us a little bit about Jericho. He says that Jericho was bound by fear. Brother Branham tells us, if you remember, that he said that the walls of Jericho were so thick they could have chariot races on the top.
Right.
Not just that they could drive a chariot on the top, but they were thick enough you could race on the top.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said it was because of the fear in the land is why they kept building those walls, because they were so afraid someone was going to attack them. They were going to come in and take them over. Joshua 2 and 1 says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy out secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, what I want to do is point out something in this scripture. Not only is this a city of fear, but there's a woman living in fear, trapped in this city. But I want you to watch what happens. Joshua, now we know Brother Branham said that Joshua, same as Jesus, Joshua, he said that the Joshua of our day was the Holy Spirit. So let's read it in this way. The Holy Spirit sent out two men, and they went and came to a harlot's house. Now I just want to, I'm gonna take my time with this story. But why in the world would God send his messengers to a harlot's house? Now, I want you to think about this. This is the way we look at God's word sometimes. This is the way we look at the way God does things. I would say to myself, why in the world didn't God go to the mayor of the city? Why didn't the messengers go to a senator? Why didn't they go to the president? But no, they went down to a little woman of ill fame. They went down to a little woman that nobody wanted anything to do with. Everyone had kicked her to the curb. They wouldn't eat at the table with her. They wouldn't get water at the well at the same time, Brother Tony. They didn't want anything to do with this little woman because she had a bad name about herself. But listen, when God come to save the lost, he said, I didn't come. He said, you know, the well did not need of a physician. And God didn't come to rich men. God didn't come to senators and presidents. But he came to the lowest of the low. He came down to people living in a gutter somewhere, living down in the ghetto, we could call it.
Right.
And he was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they are come to search out all the country. And the women took the men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Now, not only is she a harlot, she's a liar. She's just a bad person. You know, us being the Christian people that we are, we probably wouldn't want to be seen talking with her in public. Are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't want her sitting next to us in church.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I'm not taking up for sin. I'm going to show you something here.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Not only is she a liar, but she's a good liar.
Yeah.
She is embellishing this story. I mean, she didn't just lie, but then she tells them, you know, I think they went out toward the mountains. And I'll tell you, if you go right now and go out, here she is leading the leadership of a city astray. I mean, this woman knows what she's doing. Verse 6 says, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued had after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them on the roof. Now I want you to I just want to pick a couple of things out of this here. It said that she had brought them to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Branham makes a statement one time. He said, the fact that this woman had flax showed that she was looking for a change of occupation.
Right.
Now, me being my makeup, I'm very curious. You know, I like to dig, and I like to see everything that's involved, everything that's laying in there. So I look into this, and if you would look back in this day and this time, in the country of Egypt, they viewed flax as a symbol of purity. So if you had flax, it was symbolic that you had purity. So I'm thinking, Brother Daniel, why in the world has a harlot got flax in her house?
Yeah.
But this woman, even though her body was ruined, her life was ruined, her testimony was ruined, something within her caused her to go and seek out purity.
Right.
And it was in her home. There was something in her, Brother Branham said, that wanted to change her occupation. Yeah. So here she was seeking out flax. And look, the prophet sends men to the city, and where do they go? But to a little woman with a bad name, but yet had a desire. I don't want to be bad. I don't want to be this way. Something inside me wants to change.
Amen. That's right.
I like what some of you might have seen, that I put it on Facebook last week. We had a brother preach for us from Alaska, and he said, let me tell you something. He said, people say, I didn't search for God. He searched for me. He said, but let me tell you something. He said, something down on the inside of you caused you to search. He said, you might have searched in alcohol. You might have searched in cigarettes. He said, but what it was he said, from the day you were born, your theophany went in search of its creator.
That's right.
I said, man, that's quote worthy.
Amen. Amen.
The next thing is, flax is where you get linseed oil from. I know you probably know this, but I just want to bring a few things of this out. When you squeeze flax, you get linseed oil. Now, I love guns, and I collect guns, and, you know, I'd rather have a gun than food, you know. So, but I used to refinish a lot of old guns, and, you know, I would use this linseed oil to finish it. And so I got to reading up on linseed oil, and you know what I found about linseed oil is that it is a seal. So this woman not only had searched out purity, Brother Daniel,
yeah,
but she was searching out something to seal her.
Amen.
But what I like about linseed oil is they said this seal, this linseed oil, remains pliable. In other words, and if you know much about it, you know this, linseed oil never hardens. So when you see people that say they got the seal of God and they're hardened.
Right, that's right.
You see people, man, there's people, I mean, I know y'all ain't got nobody like this in this area, but in our area, We have people that have problems. And you know, there's people in our church that, I mean, when some people, when somebody comes to the altar, they just glare at them. Like, we know where you've been. And I'm like, yeah, that's why they're there. Amen. That's what the altar's for.
That's right.
That's what the blood was for. And here's the thing, if we can ever get this, Brother Brandon made a statement one time. He said, if you ever think of yourself any higher than a worm, you're thinking too much of yourself. And if we decide that because we never smoked dope that we're better than the drug addict, we're wrong.
That's right.
If we decide that if you know we were never a harlot, that we're better than the harlot, we're wrong. Yeah. Because the scripture said if a man looked on a woman to lust after her,
that's
he
right.
committed adultery with her. Now what's funny, everybody talks about the woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
He committed adultery with her.
Yeah.
I heard a guy say one time, he said, well, there's some stipulation. He said, I never committed adultery. I said, really? You never did. He said, you never looked on a, well, I never. I said, hold on a minute now. Jesus said, I come to magnify the law.
That's right.
You know, but what we want to do is we want to allow grace for what we want to allow grace for.
Right.
We've always got grace for what we do wrong. Brother Tony, it's easy to forgive, for God to forgive what my problem is. It's a little harder for Him to forgive what your problem is. You know, that's why I can look at you and I can go, well, I don't know about that. But if I was doing the same thing, I'd have a little more grace on myself
right.
than what I do on you.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yes.
But this seal remains pliable. So as I was reading up on linseed oil, it said, sometimes because it remains pliable, because it's in oil, it says the elements of the earth will begin to work its way through that seal. Now, like we was talking about last night, if you start preaching that once you get the seal of God, that there's no way you can fight the black dog, well, number one, that's a lie.
Right.
But let me show you something. Even with the seal of God, the elements of the earth is going to get to you.
Yeah.
When you're late for work, and somebody's driving slow in front of you, let me tell you something. You can have the seal and the elements of the earth are getting to you.
That's right.
Whenever you get your thumb caught in a door, when you close it too fast, you may have the seal of God, but the elements of the earth will get to you.
Yeah.
You'll get mad. You'll scream and holler. And you know, or maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that, but you know what I'm saying? We get mad, you know. There was a brother, I was preaching something like this at home one time. A brother come to me and said, man, he said, you see that dent in my car? I said, yeah. He said, I put it there. I said, why? He said, because I dropped a wrench while I was working on it, so I kicked the side of the car. You know, as silly as that sounded, I said, hey, we've all got these little areas that we need work on, right? But the elements of the earth can get to it. But what I liked about it, it said, when you see this seal begin to wear, you don't strip it off.
Right.
You don't go back and go, well, I never had nothing to begin with, and go back to the altar and then go get rebaptized. But it said, what you do when you see the elements of the earth beginning to work through that seal, it said, you just reapply more on.
Amen.
And I thought, man, I'm thankful for the quotes where our prophet said, there's one feeling, but there's many refillings.
Amen.
When the elements of the earth get back, start getting a hold of you, what do? You just go dip back down in that linseed oil and you just coat yourself again and say, Lord, the world's getting to me. I got some things that's working on me. Lord, refill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
The last thing I want to point out about this flax is that flax was used to make garments. But the only people that were allowed in this day and time to wear a flax garment were virgins. So man, I'm looking at this and I'm going, why, Brother Tony? Why did this harlot ever think that she would be allowed to wear it? A virgin garment. Why did she think that she would ever be? Because I want to show you Jericho here, as I said, they were bound by fear, but this woman was wanting the seal of God.
Yeah.
This woman wanted purity. This woman wanted to be able to walk out of the doors of her house, Brother Daniel, wearing the garment of a virgin. She wanted to be called Sister Rahab. But because of a past that could not be erased, because of things in her life that could not be forgiven, she had a nasty title of Rahab the harlot.
Yeah.
She wasn't ever just called Rahab. It was Rahab, that old piece of trash. Rahab the old drug addict. Rahab the old drunk. Rahab the old liar.
Yep.
Right.
The titles that some of us might have wore. I was called Cliff the little pervert. You say, what? You was raised in the message. Yes, I sure was. But let me tell you something. Through my teenage years, I was just a lust devil with flesh on it. I don't mind to tell you. God delivered this man. I'm not what I used to be, thank God. But listen, there was an old title. And you know what? Here's the bad part. There's some people that still won't let them old titles be put away.
Right.
Joshua 2:18 says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we shall be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, and if any hand be upon him. You got some water up here, brother. There he is. Pardon me, my throat's just a little bit dry. I want to point out something very simple, but I think it means a lot. He said, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. I began to look at scarlet thread. And the way they got scarlet dye back in that day, Brother Tim, was it came from an insect. And they would kill this insect and let it dry out, and there was a red powder that was on the inside of it. That's how they got the dye. And what stood out to me most about this was that was this woman's token.
Yeah.
And for her to have a token, something had to die.
Amen.
Yeah. Now I want to tell you something. These men, they told her, they said, listen, this is all you got to do. We've brought you the message, and we're telling you what the token is.
Yeah.
They said, we're going away, but we're coming back. And this city you're living in is going to be destroyed. But if you will apply this token, they said, listen, you ain't got to go tell everybody in the city that you've changed, you've made a difference. They're never going to forgive you anyway, but here's what you got to do. You've got to apply the token, and when the token is applied, when we come back, you're going to be saved.
Amen.
I can see Rahab going, now, wait a second. You mean to tell me all I've got to do is accept the message you brought and apply that token? And that's it. He said, that's it.
Yeah.
But watch, it goes further. He said, thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee.
Amen.
And it shall be, whoever will go out of the doors of thy house, his blood will be upon his head, and we shall be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. You know, Brother Tim, we were talking about this last night, but you ain't got to bring your kids to an altar. You ain't got to bring your family, Brother Tony, to an altar. You got to claim them by the blood.
Yes.
He said, listen, there's going to be a token over your house, and all that you've got to do is make sure that their names are under that token. Let me tell you something. Then she had to literally bring them under the token, but what do? Brother Branham said, you claim your family and they'll be there. He didn't say maybe, Brother Tony. He didn't say might. He said they will be there. I'm going to tell you, I would hold on to that promise with everything in me. If you got a lost loved one, I would hold on to that quote with every breath of life in me. I would claim those children in the name of Jesus Christ, and from that day forward, walk with your head held up high.
Amen.
There's a little girl in our church. The Lord dealt with her a lot. She turned 18. She went out of the doors of her mom and dad's house. She moved in with her grandmother. Had beautiful long black hair. Now she's got her head shaved. Big gauges in her ears. Just a mess. She come to a dinner we had the other night at church, and you know it. Just so disrespectful. Brother Tony, she came and she was wearing her pants and she had on a shirt that wasn't fitting for anybody to wear. And and just a mess, and her parents were just falling apart. The next morning, I talked to her dad, Brother Daniel, and I said, listen, you quit looking at that.
Yeah.
I said, if you look at that, you're getting your eyes off of the promise.
Amen.
I said, I don't care what her flesh looks like. I don't care what her hair looks like. I don't care what her clothes look like. I don't care what her earrings look like. You quit looking at her and look at the promise. I said, listen, it's going to get bad. It may get worse. We don't know where her flesh is going to go. But if you have claimed that child, she's coming to the Lord no matter what.
Amen.
It might get bad. I don't know what God's going to have to do to that girl. Let me tell you something. They claimed them.
Yeah.
It's over with. It's over. I mean, it don't matter. It just don't matter.
Yeah.
Y'all heard Brother Tommy Morris preach here, right?
Yeah.
That man ran from God. He was in church, walked away from church, and ran from God for 12 years. But when God got ready, he yanked him right back into church.
Yeah.
Right. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you this. I hope I'm just free this morning, okay? Is that all right?
Amen.
There's people in our church that don't even want to hear my brother sing. Because, well, at some point in his life, he walked away from God. I'm going to tell you something. God's a bigger God than that.
Amen. That's right.
I'll tell you what he just done. Brother Tommy just went down. And you're going to have to get him to tell his testimony too, Brother Tony. I ain't going to tell it all, but I'm going to tell you this. This man that had walked away from God and came back, God somehow had enough mercy. He just spent about 3 weeks in Brazil and Guyana, and they went up the Amazon River. They went into a little city, and there was a woman there that had the keys to the Catholic Church. And she said, if y'all want to have a meeting, y'all can have it in this church. So they filled up the Catholic Church and had a message meeting. Well, when the Assembly of God Church down the road found out there was going to be a meeting, they all poured out and they came up there. And Brother Tommy said the Catholic Church was filled, the Catholic Fellowship Hall was filled, and people were even sitting outside.
Amen.
The next morning, this little woman came up to him. And she said, I want you to know something. She said, yesterday I was a Catholic. Today I'm a Christian. I believe Brother Tommy said they won 150 to 200 souls to the Lord in about 3 weeks.
Amen.
That's a God of mercy.
Amen.
He ran from God. He walked out into sin. But where is he at today? He's won. Since he's been back in church, Brother Tony, I've lost count. Before this last trip, I know it was over 150 souls that he'd won to the Lord. I would say somewhere upwards of 300 or 400 souls he's won to the Lord, Brother Daniel. Why? Because when God gets ready to use you, it don't matter where you've been.
Amen.
It don't matter what your life looks like. It don't matter what you've done with your body. If God says he can use you, then he can use you.
Amen.
Joshua 6:17 says, and the city shall be accursed. Even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now hold on. We're missing a line in there. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, because she that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent, and because she was a good person, and because she lived pretty much all the law.
No,
there was one thing she had to do.
Yeah.
She had to believe the message.
That's it.
Right.
They said she believed the message that was sent. Therefore, her and her whole family is going to be saved.
Right.
Uh-huh. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me give you another scripture to tie to that. In Job. Remember Job chapter 1? He said that his kids was eating and drinking and marrying.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He said he went and sacrificed. He said, Lord, peradventure, that one of them might have done something. I'm paraphrasing now.
Right.
But he said one of them might have done something wrong.
Right.
Let me sacrifice for them.
Uh-huh.
You can sacrifice for your children.
Yeah.
That you can put a lamb on the altar for your children that don't even know you're putting a lamb on the altar for them.
Right.
And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Now, I'm going to stop here a minute. Why do we preach against sin? Because, just like that splinter, it don't just affect the finger.
That's right.
It affects the arm.
Yeah.
It starts going to the whole body. It can affect the mind. And one person in this church,
yes, sir,
with an evil spirit or with sin in their life, can mess up the whole church.
That's right.
One little thing wrong in your life can mess the whole church up. Because you're a family.
Amen.
You're a body. So if there's an infection in the finger and it gets in the bloodstream, where does it go?
Right.
Throughout the whole body. So if someone is going out and letting infection be in their system, what is it going to do? It's going to spread to the whole church.
Amen.
So you say, why do we have to hear sin preached against? To keep infection from spreading.
That's right. Amen.
I want you to watch verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, I want to skip verse 18. And I want to clamp 17 and 19 together. The city is going to be accursed, and all that is, except for Rahab and all that's in her house. 19. And the silver, and the gold, and the brass, and the iron. So I want you to imagine how this went when Joshua came out and he told the leaders of the army. He said, listen, we're going to destroy Jericho today. But I want everything of value in that city. Alright? I want all the gold. I can imagine I'm taking notes. Alright? I want all the gold. Alright? I want all the silver. Alright? I want all the brass. Alright? I want the iron. Alright? And I want Rahab. You talking about Rahab the harlot? I'm misunderstanding, Joshua. I thought you said you wanted everything of value.
Right?
He said, that's exactly right. I want the gold. I want the silver. I want the brass. I want the iron. And I want Rahab.
Amen.
Joshua, do you know where she's been? See, this is us.
Yeah, right.
I don't know that the Lord could use them. See, they've been... Well, now I heard one time they did.
Yeah.
Right? This is the way we... You know, you hear people do this. Well, I don't know about them. Well, I don't know if the Lord is going to use that or not. Let God decide what He wants
Amen.
To do with
Amen.
It.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
But Joshua, she's got such a bad name. He said, listen, she may have a bad name, but she's got a token.
That's right.
Everybody's worried about how bad their name is. Let me tell you something. I may have a bad name on this earth, but I got a token too, Brother Tony.
Amen.
I don't care how bad my name looks. I don't care what the world thinks about me. Brother Tim, I don't even care about what my past is anymore because I have a token.
Amen.
The token will get me out of here, and those that are worried about my old name ain't going where I'm going.
Amen.
Joshua 6:23 says, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and they left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire. Now look at this. Brother Branham said, you're going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked.
Yep.
The same message that calls her to apply the token is the same message that calls angels to come down and pull her out of the city.
Yeah.
We're going to call it a rapture. They got her out of the city. She had to accept the word first. Then they went and got her out of the city. And Brother Daniel, once she got out of the city, there was nothing left in that city except rubble to be burnt.
Yeah.
Right. Let me tell you something. If you've accepted the message,
yeah,
when the finality of this rapture happens and you are gone from this earth, there will be nothing left in this earth of value except to be burnt.
Amen.
Watch this. They burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua, remember what we said Joshua was? Joshua is Jesus of the New Testament. And Joshua saved Rahab. I want somebody to repeat that with me. Joshua saved Rahab. Now I want somebody to say, my name's Rahab. I don't know about you, but I was a harlot to something. I was a harlot to lust. I was a harlot to greed. I was a liar. I committed fornication with the enemy. I was a harlot for the devil. But when my Joshua came on the scene, when my Jesus got a hold of me, Brother Tim, he saved this old prostitute that I was. He said, boy, you don't mind calling yourself that. I ain't calling me that. I'm calling who I used to be that.
Right.
And I don't mind telling you, when we were sinners, sin is sin.
Yeah, that's right.
So I told somebody the other day, I said, let me tell you something. We pick out sins and we go, well, that ain't that bad.
Right.
But now that homosexual over there,
yeah,
that's a sin of sin.
Right.
Yeah.
And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because, look at that, she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Brother Tony, she was saved. Her family was saved. Her name is still recorded to this day for one reason. Because she accepted the message. But you know, Brother Branham said an exodus requires two things. It requires coming out, but then you got to go somewhere.
That's right.
I hope this is all right this morning.
Amen.
So Rahab comes out, and she's walking into the camp of Israel. There's a man of God sitting in his tent. And he's saying, man, I wish I had a wife. And old Brother Salmon, the high priest of the tribe of Judah, he's sitting there in his tent. Brother Tony says, man, I'd give anything for a godly woman. And he looks up and he sees Joshua and the army coming marching back into the camp. And he sees a little woman who is being protected by armed guards. Yeah. Now think about this. This little woman that was a harlot that nobody wanted nothing to do with. She was trash, washed up on the side of the sidewalk. I heard somebody talking about somebody one time and they said, that woman was just trash. Said she was just a bag of trash sitting on the sidewalk waiting for the garbage man to pick her up by the drawstrings. Well, that's what Rahab was. But after she accepted the message, she gets marched out of her house with armed guards. And she looks behind her. And every person that had laughed at her, Brother Daniel, every person that had poked fun of her, every person that had told her, you can't wear that garment because only a virgin could wear that garment. Every person that when she walked out of her house pointed and said, we know where you've been. We know what you've done. We'll never let you live it down.
Yeah.
She looked behind her, Brother Tony, and it was ashes.
Yeah.
This same woman comes marching into the camp of Israel, and Salmon says, that woman's beautiful. So he tells one of his advisors, he says, I want you to go get that woman and bring her to me. So they run and I'm just traumatizing the story. I hope it's all right with you.
Yeah.
They run to get her and they come back and they say, Salmon, I got some bad news. You can't marry her. And he says, but she's so beautiful. And I just fell in love with her at first sight. And I said, yeah, but she's rough. And Salmon says, well, tell me. He says, I'm a man of God. We're going to handle this according to the scripture. Let the accuser step forth. What has she done? And they said, well, she's... Salmon, I don't know how to break this to you. I know you feel love in your heart for her, but Salmon, she's a harlot. Salmon said, let's go to the Word. He was a man of God. He said, what do we do when this happens? She says, all right. He said, go get me two or three witnesses of good report that can tell me she's been a harlot and bring it back and we'll judge her. And they said, well, there's a slight problem. There's not any accusers. They're all dead. Salmon goes, then go get me the woman. But Salmon, we heard that she was a drug addict just a few days ago. She could never be picked to be part of the high priest of Judah's family. He said, so she was a drug addict too? Yes! Go get me the two or three witnesses of good report. They're going, Salmon, you don't understand. There are no witnesses. Reminds me of one time a little woman came to Jesus.
Yeah.
They threw her down there, and isn't it funny? They caught her in the act.
Yeah, right. That's right.
They caught her in the act.
Yeah.
Something ain't adding up there, right? They brought her to Jesus. Where was the guy?
Yep. Right.
He was somebody's buddy.
That's right. Right? Politics. That's right.
That's exactly right. Church politics. Right. Church politics is where, you know what, somebody, you forgive me if you think I'm out of line. Somebody asked me if I was going to a certain meeting, and they weren't telling me they were expecting God to move. Their theme with Brother Tony, they said, oh man, the lineup of preachers is off the hook. I said, okay. Lineup of preachers don't make a meeting. And they said, are you coming to the meeting? And I said, I doubt it. I said, I've heard enough out of the GOP nominations. I don't need any more politics. Yeah. Right?
Right.
But Jesus stepped down there and he goes, oh, I see all you with stones. Well, you that's without any sin, go ahead and start throwing.
Yeah.
But before you throw, let me write something down here in the sand.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? When he wrote down, last week, Brother Jones was, I hope there ain't a Brother Jones in here. Last week, Brother Jones was, and I imagine old Brother Jones just kind of slid that rock down and just went on home. And Jesus said, I wonder where Brother Jones went. And he said, well, you know, last week, Brother Sam over there, he went, and old Brother Sam, he kind of drops his rock and he runs on home. And pretty soon, Jesus looks up and he goes, it's just me and you. Well, where's your accusers at?
Right.
She said, I don't have any. He said, well, I ain't going to accuse you.
Yeah.
So they bring this woman to Salmon. He's the judge. He's the high priest of the tribe of Judah. He's the only man that could judge this woman. Now, I love this, and I tell you, because you know why? Remember, I'm Rahab.
Yeah.
You're Rahab.
Yeah.
So they bring Rahab. And they say, now listen, Rahab, we've already told him. You was a harlot. You was a drunk. You was a drug addict. And Salmon says, Rahab, where's the eyewitnesses? She says, there ain't none. He said, then neither do I accuse you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. People are worried. People wonder, is God going to put me on a probation period? God ain't a cop.
Come on.
God don't put people on probation periods. Let me tell you what God does. The second you ask for forgiveness, it's done with.
Amen.
The second you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was telling you about that drug addict that repented the other day, or the few months back at Brother Frank's. He come up to me at the end of service, Brother Tony. He came up and repented. And about 20 minutes later, at the end of service, he come up to me and he said, Brother, we need to talk. And he called me into the office there. And he said, I got a tattoo that really bothers me. He pulls his shirt up and he had 666 on the side of his body. He said, what do I do? I said, nothing. He said, why? I said, because you don't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not understanding. I said, brother, didn't you just repent? He said, yeah. I said, then in God's eyes, you're a newborn baby. Yeah. Without a piercing, without a tattoo, without a drug ever run through your veins? I said, brother, that's how great my God is. I said, God ain't looking at your body. God ain't expecting you to go cover up the tattoos. You know why? Because the flesh ain't what God come to save anyway.
Right.
That's why we get so worried about the flesh. We're looking at the flesh. But God didn't come to save flesh anyway. He come to save lost souls. And I don't care what condition that flesh got itself into, God can still save them. Now here's what's funny. Is I started looking for Rahab and Salmon's marriage. I was looking for their wedding in the Bible, and you know what? It ain't in there. But Matthew 1 and 5 says, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. So I said, well, we know they was married, but I went back finding it, and you know what I found out? I found out that Salmon and Rahab had an invisible union. You couldn't find the marriage. Why? Because it wasn't for everybody else. It was an invisible union. But what happened? Joshua got called into that tent. And he said, Joshua, you're responsible for this. Why don't you just go ahead and preach the wedding ceremony?
Amen.
So what did Joshua do? He preached the invisible union of the bride. I want you to check this out. The next sermon after the invisible union of the bride, the next sermon that Brother Branham preaches is Works is Faith Expressed.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
I know y'all probably, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? You take the first letter of every word. Works, W. Is, I. Faith, F. Expressed, E. When he preaches the invisible union of the bride, the next service he comes saying, now I'm preaching to the wife.
Yeah.
Joshua comes and he preaches an invisible union. And can you imagine when Joshua says, is there anybody here that knows any reason why these two shouldn't be married?
Yeah.
I can imagine her just... Joshua just leans over and he says, hey, Rahab, don't worry. I killed them all. Let me tell you something. The Lord is going to kill every accuser. You're going to walk through the city gates one day, and you're going to turn around and look behind you. There will be no more accuser. Listen, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, Moses told them, he said, I want you to look behind you. What did they see? They saw their enemy. He said, your enemy. He said, those Philistines. He said, you'll see them no more forever.
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you, if God's brought you out of a place of sin, I want to tell you, turn around and look behind you, because the things of your past, you'll see no more forever from this
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
But I want you to look, if you don't mind pulling that scripture up. Salmon begat Rahab, Matthew 1 and 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab the harlot. Am I reading that right?
No.
Well, then how did she get rid of that nasty title on the back of her name? Because Salmon was the greatest man in all the land.
Yeah.
And he had the right to call her whatever he wanted to call her. So he said, I'm going to give you a new name.
Amen.
Because in the Old Testament, her name was Rahab. And in the New Testament, there was a C put right in the middle of her name. Now, I don't know what that C stands for, but I'm going to call it for Christ. Because when Salmon got through with her, there wasn't a nasty title on the end of her name, but right in the center of her life was Christ now dwelling with on the inside of her. And whenever we read of her and her marriage, we don't find about an old nasty title, because what Salmon done when he married her was he took the old title and laid it on his shoulder, and he said, I'll take that sin. And what did he do, Brother Tony? But he took that woman back to what she was before the sin happened. Oh, I want to tell you something. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you accept the marriage of the Lamb and you are married, He takes the old titles of lust and of liar and of adulterer and all those things that we were. He puts them on Himself. He hides away that name and calls you what you were in the beginning, which is what? The bride.
Amen.
Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I want to go back and read where we started. As they come to the music, Isaiah 43:1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Church, I'm thankful. I was Rahab the harlot. But if you remember, I never asked y'all to say, my name's Rahab the harlot. I said, say your name's Rahab. The harlot was the name that Jericho gave her. That was the name that her enemies gave her and those that oppressed her gave her. But her father gave her a name of Rahab. And when she got married, Brother Daniel, he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of all that stuff they've said about you.
Amen.
Can you imagine? Brother Tony, I can imagine. I thought I was done. Maybe I ain't. Just play something soft. Now you'll get me out of here. But can you imagine, Brother Tony, when those men said, Salmon, look at how bad she's been. This may hurt your name. And Salmon said, listen, my name is too great to be hurt. The only possible change that could come out of this situation, I'm not stooping down to her level. I'm bringing her to my level.
Amen. That's right.
It didn't hurt God to save us. It just helped us.
That's right.
Brother Branham said one time, he said, Jesus' reputation is made with sinners. It's made with prostitutes. He said, that's where his reputation is made at. Oh, it's easy to save a guy that's always been in church and ain't done that much wrong. But I'm talking about the power of a God, Brother Tony, that can take the worst sinner, the worst person we have could ever imagine, the person that we'd say, now that's the unforgivable sin, and he can forgive them. He said, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Or, I told you, if he says thee, put your name there. He loved you. You're honorable. Now listen to this. He said, I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Brother Branham in the first seal said, this is only to be revealed at the last day when the seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Notice, that just makes me tremble. I hope the church truly understands it. See what I mean? You people. And he stops. He says, I'm going to call you bride.
Amen.
But you'll understand it.
Amen.
Have you heard your name called?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I am redeemed. Someone could walk away with a revelation knowing you in a greater way than they've known you before. Lord, if there be one sick, I pray you'd heal them this morning. Lord, one lost, I pray you'd save them. One in need of the Holy Ghost, I pray you'll fill them this morning. Lord, do a mighty work in this church. Let them be a shining light to this city that they live in. Move, Father, amongst this congregation, I pray. Bless them in the name of Jesus.
Bless you.
You know, whenever those soldiers came in there and they told her, said, you'd hang this scarlet thread out there, and we, the army of God, will honor that. We won't come in and we won't hurt you. But did you know that God honored that too? Because them soldiers weren't the ones that shook them walls down flat.
God did. Right.
And her house was built on the wall. So her house did not crumble. You see, everything else fell flat. So God honored that token also. And sometimes we think it's just us, but God honors the token.
Amen.
So we thank Him for that. But I want to ask you something. What is your token today? Think about it. All she had to do was believe that message and put that message on display.
Amen.
That was all that was good. She didn't have to be anything famous. She didn't have to be really good. She didn't have to do anything else. All that other stuff didn't count. She just had to believe the message of her day and put that message on display and get everybody she could underneath that.
Yeah.
And so that's what we had to do. So what is your message today? Is to accept what God has done in your day and embrace that and let that be on display. Regardless of what the rest of the world says, regardless of how much they laugh at it, you put it on display. And we believe that. And so he mentioned in there just a little while ago about how that Job could offer. And I thought, Lord, let me make that offering for my people. I remember, and I was thinking about it the other day, Brother Graham was talking to a minister, and I don't even know what they were talking about. He doesn't say, but Brother Graham said, you don't really believe that. He said, no. His pastor for the church, he said, no, I don't, but for their sake, I sanctify myself. And Brother Bram said, oh, I just wanted to hug his neck. Because a man would be willing to sanctify his walk, to condition himself for their sake. And saints, that's what we can do. Underneath this message, whether anybody else embraces it or not, we can sanctify ourselves. We can embrace that token. We can put that on display and claim them. And then just go on and walk on with God, knowing what He's going to do. He's going to make it to pass. Saints, you realize that one of these mornings, one of these days, when it comes rapture time, as he was illustrating Rahab coming out of that city, wasn't nothing but a bunch of rubble. But God sent armed guards to escort her out of that city. We're getting ready to leave this world. God's going to send His armed guards to escort us out of this earth. We're going to turn around and look, and there's not going to be any accusers. You realize that? We don't necessarily work that way, but it's in God's word. There had to be witnesses, right? There had to be witnesses. And you realize when you stand there on that day, there's not going to be any witnesses.
Yes.
There's not going to be, not even you. You know, right now your flesh accuses you, but you're not even going to be wrapped in a body at that time that's going to accuse you at that time. Amen. Mine accuses me all the time. Wants to identify me as Rahab the harlot. Amen. But we want to have a confession that's in agreement with God's word. I appreciate what the Lord gave us this morning.
Yes.
Brother Cliff and I were talking just a little while ago, and it'd been on my heart for a couple of months. I think I'd even mentioned to the brothers, you know, about maybe having Cliff come over, wishing that the Lord would open up a doorway where we could do that. And so I didn't know what was going on, but you know, Brother Claude in Bartlesville usually has a watch night service, and hadn't heard nothing. It was getting close to watch night service time, and so I texted Brother Jason Solis and asked him if they were having a watch night service. Well, about 30 minutes later, without any connection between Jason and Brother Claude, Brother Claude calls me on the phone, and he asked me, you know, would I be willing to come up and speak at the watch night service. It had been on my mind for a while about maybe possibly trying to get in touch with Brother Cliff. And so I said, yeah, I feel like the Lord would allow me to do that. He said, well, he said, I've had it on my heart maybe to have Brother Cliff come over and speak also. And, you know, in my mind, a light bulb went off. You know, Lord's dealing with me, and now here's an open doorway. And maybe I'll be able to get a chance to fellowship with Brother Cliff and we'll talk. Well, he was telling me this morning the same thing happened. Because when I got off, or was getting off the phone with Claude, well, Claude says, well, I'm going to go ahead and get in touch with him now. He'd already been talking to Cliff, and he said, I'm going to go ahead and tell him we want him to come. So he was telling me this morning that he driving down the road, and he all of a sudden he just texts Brother Claude and asked him, are you having watched that service or something like that? And he said a little while later, he texted him back and calls him back and says, yeah, I want you to go ahead and come. So this was going on at the same time where I just saw it out of the blue. Well, I'm going to find out if they're having a watch night service. He did the same thing right at the same time. And this conversation between us all was going all at once. And, of course, we both got to fellowship up there. And I told, you know, Brother Cliff that I really would like to have him come down. And so I appreciate it. It's been a long time coming. But God has his timing in everything. And I feel like that what the Lord has done is great. It's marvelous in our eyes. I really appreciate what the brother had to say this morning. It's just one of those sermons that really helps you know just how much the Lord really loves you.
Amen.
And that, I've said this before, I don't maybe been a while, but you know they have what they call insider trading, which is against the law, mm-hmm. right, in the stock market and stuff like that. Do you realize the whole plan of God is insider trading?
All right.
Yeah, we've got the corner on it already.
Yeah.
But it's his system, so it's not illegal. You know what I'm saying? And so it's kind of that way, you know. It's like, you know what? This is what the mafia does. This is what the government does. They go kill all the people that's going to try and be a testimony against you. So it makes it okay, you know. It sounds like, you know what I'm saying? But when it's God doing it, it's through righteousness and holiness and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with it. And it puts you and I on top. That's just wonderful to me. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Amen. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. And Brother Tim will close in the song. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for what you have shared with us, Lord. It just touches our hearts so. And Lord, I know that you knew what the assembly needed to hear this morning. You knew that they needed to hear the words that were given this morning, to see themselves in the word, to see themselves as Rahab. Lord, not the harlot, but the one who's married to a high dignitary man of the land of Israel. And we realize that the highest one in this age is the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for making us to be in that position. Lord, we pray that we'd be able to just put our head held high, just to proudly walk forth bearing this token and accepting, Lord, your offer to give us this position as your wife. Thank you, Lord. We ask. ask God that you be with each one. Those who are missing today, not here from sicknesses and first other things, Lord, we just ask that you would help them, Lord, and be with them, and that the Holy Spirit minister to their needs, bring them back to the house of God safely. Pray that you just give Brother Cliff the rest that he needs in his body, the strength to be able to make it home safely. Just bless him, Lord, as he's given out to us. We pray, God, you pour back into him that which he needs.